If you have your Bibles, James chapter 1, I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that I believe is of great importance, and one that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. But I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that I've said that can be confused, and I'm the skilled at confusing people. But anyway, I hope today you'll get a blessing out of it. Speaking on the subject today, wise up or break down. Wise up or break down. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I believe all of us at some time in our lives had a breakdown, don't you think? If we hadn't, you got one coming, because all of us have breakdowns from time to time. But yet, we can prepare for that by wising up, and that's what I want to preach to you on the subject this morning, the matter of wisdom. I want to give you two different quotes that were made by two different men over a century ago, and you decide which one's right. In 1860, the philosopher Jerry Bentham, he said, if we can get universal and compulsory education by the end of the century, all our social, political, and moral problems will be solved. Now, just so you get it, I want you to hear it again. If we can get universal and compulsory education by the end of the century, all our social, political, and moral problems will be solved. Now, compare this by the Earl of Shaftesbury, who was a strong supporter of education during his campaign for education. Here's what his quote was: education without instruction in religious and moral principles will merely result in a race of clever devils. Let me read that again. Education without instruction in religious and moral principles will merely result in a race of clever devils. I don't know about you, but I think Earl was right, don't you? To educate men mentally without educating them morally, and all you have is a clever devil. Now, you listen to what I'm trying to say this morning, and it's of great importance. If we've learned anything, we've learned that education and knowledge alone does not solve our problems. It complicates them. We don't have a problem with the shortage of knowledge and information. Man, we've got tons of that. In fact, listen to this survey that was done on Megatrends magazine. There's between 6,000 and 7,000 scientific articles that are written every day. Scientific and technical information has increased 13% per year, which means it doubles every 5.5 years. At this rate, however, it will soon jump to 40% per year because of the new and powerful computers and the increase in, population of scientists. That means that we're living in a day where knowledge is going to double every 20 months. We have all the knowledge we can stand. We was talking this morning back in the booth, Justin was talking about certain things that we can get things to do now that's just amazing to me. Knowledge is not the problem. We're drowning in the information, but we're starved for knowledge. We're drowning in knowledge, but literally, I believe we're drowning in knowledge, but we're starved for wisdom, true wisdom, wisdom today. And I'll show you what all that is in a minute. Just stay with me. And don't misunderstand me. If you're well-educated or a college professor or something, I'm not shooting at you this morning. I think it's wonderful. Education is a wonderful thing. I'm saying education without wisdom is not a good thing, because I'll show you what wisdom is in a minute. We've learned to travel faster than faster than sound. We've learned to go faster, but the problem is we're going in the wrong direction. We know more about the world that we live in, but very little about how to live in the world that we're in. And so somebody said this: early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. It sounds good, don't it? But I don't agree with all of it. Going to bed early and to bed early to rise may make you healthy and wealthy, but it won't make you wise. But there's one guarantee on how to become wise. We find it in the short verses that I'm about to read, penned by the Apostle Paul, written by James. I'll get that in a minute. But we find here, beginning in verse number 12, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, get that, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as flowers of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heart, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed, and that word blessed means happy. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of wisdom. Do you have wisdom? Now today you may have a lot of knowledge. Like I said, we've got many well-educated people here in the facility, and I'm grateful for you being here today, and I'm not against that at all. But knowledge without wisdom is nothing, and I pray before I get through that I can convince you of that. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, I do ask now that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. Pray, Lord, that you would give me the power that I need, Lord, to stand here and deliver the message. Father, we ask your will be done. Just guide and direct, we pray. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is the appreciation of wisdom. I tell you today, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'm not going to say too much, but I'm thankful for wisdom that's available to the child of God. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only wisdom, because without the wisdom, you're doomed. You're going to spend eternity separated from God forever if you never trusted him. But why do we need wisdom? I think he says it very well in the very first verse that he begins to talk to us about when we read it. He said, if any man lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom. Now, it's not just about being smart. You may have the highest IQ and not be wise. In fact, Albert Einstein, without the knowledge of God, listen, is nothing more than a brilliant fool. We find that in the scripture, not Albert Einstein, but we do find the illustration there. Albert Einstein, without the knowledge of God, is more than just a fool. And the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So wisdom is needed, and it ought to be appreciated. One fellow said, how do you appreciate wisdom? Why would you appreciate wisdom? And the guy put it this way. He said, well, the fellow that has got two girls that he wants to date, he's going to go out with the one that appreciates her the most. You stop and think about it. That ought to be the way it is in our life. As children of God, we ought to appreciate God more than anything in this whole world. I love my family. I love my church. But I love God, and I'm grateful for the wisdom that he's distributed to me. Wisdom, for example, is not intelligence. I mentioned with Albert Einstein. Wisdom is not just common sense. Back in my day, we called it horse sense. But I read the other day why they call it horse sense. They didn't know, but they said it's horse sense because horses don't bet on people. You'll get it in a minute. But I'm not talking about just common knowledge, but wisdom is not just common sense. It's the wisdom and the knowledge of what you see and understand. Wisdom is more than knowledge. In fact, there are tremendous differences between knowledge and wisdom. Listen to me. Knowledge is in a man's heart. Knowledge is in a man's head. Wisdom is in a man's heart. Knowledge comes from the earth below. Wisdom comes from the heaven above. Knowledge is how much of the world you have in your head. Wisdom is how much you have of God in your heart. You can obtain knowledge without God, but you can only obtain wisdom from God. Knowledge is a fact you can acquire. Wisdom is a gift you can accept. All those things are true, but wisdom comes from neither education and neither comes from experience. As I said before, the wisdom that we need today and all the wisdom we need is found in the Word of God. I tell you, this book right here is a treasure chest, treasure trove, if you would, full of truths that God has given us that teach us the wisdom of God. Wisdom comes in many ways, but let's ask Job how wisdom comes. Well, actually, let's ask James. He said, let if any man ask wisdom, let him ask of God. Where else do we get wisdom from? Today, I'm grateful for education. I'm grateful for the knowledge that I've received through the years, that I've been able to, through the years, to be able to preach and do whatever was necessary. But the greatest in all was the wisdom that I got from God. And so we see here as he describes that and talks about it, wisdom, you can have it, but you'll never understand the need of wisdom till you grasp the truth that wisdom comes from God. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Job said, now Job, he's a good spokesman for us this morning. He said, for where then doth wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding in Job 28:20? You know about Job. I'm not going to go into the story, but he lost everything. But he said, from whence then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? And then Job answered it for himself in Job 28:23. He said, God understands its way, and he knows its place. Solomon, the wisest man in the world that ever lived, in Proverbs 2:6 said, the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. But it's the Lord that gives wisdom. We need to appreciate wisdom because of the nature of wisdom. Some may question, what is it, wisdom? And there's all kind of definitions for it. Somebody have this definition that I think is good. Wisdom is finding God's perspective, fulfilling God's purpose, and following God's plan. Wisdom is finding God's perspective, fulfilling God's purpose, and following God's plan. To put it another way, wisdom is applying God's truth to daily living. God expects us to be holy as he is holy. He's commanded us to. True wisdom, listen to me, true wisdom is leaning on Jesus Christ our Lord. True wisdom is entrusting his life-giving word. True wisdom is living near Jesus every day of our life in all that we do. True wisdom is in walking where he shall lead the way. True wisdom is personal. True wisdom is providential. He said, let him ask of God. Wisdom is practical. It's applying God's truth to daily living. We ought to know. Why do we come to church? We come to church, yes, we come to gain the knowledge of the Word of God, but literally what we need more than the knowledge of the Word of God is we need the wisdom of God in how we know, in the way that we know and understand what he's doing for us. Somebody put it this way, and here's one I said you better really listen to very carefully because it can be confusing. I'll read it slow. He that knows not and knows not that he knows not, he is a fool. Shun him. But he that knows not and knows that he knows not, he is simple. Teach him. He that knows and knows not that he knows, he's asleep. Wake him up. He that knows and knows that he knows, he's a wise man. Follow him. I think you can put it together what he's saying there. A little bit confusing with all the knows, not knows. But truly today, I promise you this. In order to be thankful for what God provided for us and give us the wisdom that we need, we've got to understand who we are and understand that we need wisdom. Most people, they don't think they need wisdom. Sometimes people that are educated, and again, please, I'm not knocking education at all. I'm thankful for it. I tell you, I don't know where we'd be today without the education. Listen, we used to use a road atlas to go somewhere, and it took 30 minutes to sit side the road trying to figure it out. Now the crazy thing tells you where to go. Sometimes it'll take you out of the way, but you'll get there. I promise you if you hang on to it. I'm just talking about the technology. We got so many smart people. They don't think they need any more wisdom. Having knowledge does not give you wisdom. Wisdom comes from God and must be understood and must be appreciated. I'm grateful tonight. This morning, you ought to be grateful for the opportunity to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God, whether it be here or any place that's preaching the Word of God. Brother Keith is going to be giving wisdom tonight, and you need to be here in order that you might gain that wisdom. People say sometimes, I don't know how to live. I can't do it. I just, you know, I want to do it, but it just can't do it. But the problem is, you haven't given in and said you've got to do it and wanted to do it. And until you do, you'll never obtain the wisdom you need to live and to walk a daily life with Christ. You need that in your life. The second thing I want you to notice is the prayerful appropriation of wisdom. Now, when I get through this morning, I hope somehow that I've whet your appetite for wisdom. You said, well, preacher, what do you mean now? And I told you what I meant. It comes from God. Where does God speak to us from? He speaks to us from God's Word. It's important that we come. I hope today that when you leave here, you have a thirst that's cultivated for wisdom. If you realize you need wisdom, then you properly appreciate wisdom. Then James tells us you ought to prayerfully appropriate wisdom. Again, the words are said, let him ask of God. Somebody said this, if you want knowledge, go to school. But if you want wisdom, get on your knees. And I think that's a good saying to remember. This amazing truth. When Solomon said was more valuable than silver or the gold is yours for the asking. God said he'd supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. But notice he said needs. I didn't say wants, and I do not believe, and I emphasize that any time I preach this way. People say, well, I prayed for something and I didn't get it. Might be it wasn't God's will. Maybe it wasn't God's way. And sometimes God withholds things from us that we'll thank him in the end that he did. But the truth of it is today, this amazing truth, is if we ask, he'll give us the desires of our heart. But if we don't ask, he won't give it to us. Praying for the wisdom of God. Second of all, or we find first of all, we're to ask constantly. I've learned something about the devil in prayer. He don't like for you to pray. Isn't it amazing that even though God has promised to give us wisdom, if we ask for it, if we'll ask for it, if we don't ask, we're not going to get it. The devil cannot prevent God from answering prayer. Did you hear me? I don't care how strong and mighty he is, the devil cannot prevent God from answering prayer. Now, he'll do all he can to prevent you from praying, but when you pray, it's between you and God. And if you're right with God, he said, if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. I know that prayer. But today, if we're right with God, we can come to him and ask what we need and what we desire, and God will give it. The key to prayer is the key that unlocks the room to the throne rail of God. And here's what he said in the scripture. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy in his sight. Now, the devil wants to get you when you come to church. He loves to get you on your feet to sing. He loves to, the devil says get on your feet and sing. Just don't get on your knees and pray. He says, go to choir practice, but just don't go to the prayer closet. Go and knock the doors of men's houses, but don't just knock on the door of God, and don't knock on the door of God's throne room. The devil doesn't want you to pray the prayer, and he'll do everything he can to defeat you. Nevertheless, there's so much encouragement in that little phrase. If any man lack wisdom, and I believe today, to a certain degree, all of us lack wisdom. Some may have more wisdom than others, and that's a wonderful thing. But I believe all of us today lack wisdom, and we can always use more wisdom. So first thing you got to do is understand you need it. But he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Who else is there to ask? Don't come to me. I don't have as much wisdom as I need. I want more wisdom. And I pray for God's wisdom. I pray for God's help. Let him ask of God. You see, God is willing to give you the wisdom. God's more willing to give you the wisdom than we are desiring to receive it. If you stop and think about it, the Bible said in Ephesians 3:20 that he is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do everything that we ask or think. So we're to ask constantly. Every day we ought to be praying. I'm not talking about just praying for your food. I'm not just talking about, well, praying for your sick friend. All those things are right. But pray constantly for every need. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Not only should we pray constantly, but here, let's add a little bit to it. Pray continuously. The verb ask in the present tense, which notes a continuous action. That is, we can't ask for today's wisdom for tomorrow's problem. God said we get it a day at a time. You remember they had to pray for the manna? They had to get the manna every day. They didn't get it. They wanted to hoard it up, but he told them they couldn't hoard it up. They'd have to ask for it every day. Sufficient unto the day is the wisdom thereof. God provides our needs on a daily basis. He gives us what we need along the way. But the beautiful thing is, and I like this verse, it said, he giveth liberally. Now, I want to say today that I'm not liberal in any sense of the imagination. I'm very conservative in many ways of my life, many of my thoughts. So I don't like the term liberal until I read it in the Bible. And the Bible talks about being liberal. You say, well, he's not talking about the kind of liberal that we may think of today. He's talking about being liberal with our giving. When it comes to giving, well, he got quiet, didn't he? Come into our giving. I'm not going to preach on tithing right now. But he says he'll give it to us. And he gives us what he gives us, how? Liberally, and upbraideth not. So here you are, you're asking God for something, and he gives you way more than you ask for. That's what's called liberally giving. We're going to have our Faith Mission Conference in just a week or so. And by the way, we support missions just by faith. Whatever God would ask our people to give by faith. And we do that, but we do it believing that God will supply our needs, and He does, and that He'll even provide more. And we could take testimony this morning. We'll wait till we get down to the close to the mission conference. But I guarantee there's people who stand up and say, I've been given missions for 15 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, and I've increased it every time. And God's never let me down in supplying my need. I'm just simply saying today, we need the wisdom of God in order that we might know how to live daily according to His Word. And then we're to ask confidently. Do you believe when you ask Jesus to save you, that Jesus saved you? I hope you did. If you didn't, you probably didn't get saved, because the fact that it is, you got to know that Jesus said He would do what He said He would do according to the Word of God. He said, even in there, He said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But somebody said, well, and here's the thing we hear. I understand people being confused. But you ask people, are you saved? They say, oh yeah, I've been saved several times. Friend, you don't get saved several times. You get saved one time. And when you get saved one time, God lets you know that you've been saved. And you know that He lives in your heart and He abides there. But if you come to the altar, I don't like to hear anybody pray. I've had people pray this prayer. Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. Don't go there. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Please, just save me. And it's the same way about asking God for the wisdom that He's willing to give us if we're willing to take it. Pray and believe, and He said, ye shall receive. Pray and doubt, and you'll do without. The word double-minded means literally to be sold. This is a person, I guess, described like a schizophrenic. One minute he believes God, and the next minute he doesn't. I know people like that, by the way. I know people that have been saved, young people saved, and go to church all their life, and they get off to college, and they decide they don't believe in God no more. I don't know if they ever believed in God to start with. I'm not that judge, and I'm not going to make that accusation at all. But I can tell you this. When I got saved, I know that I confidently prayed, believing, knowing, and understanding that when I prayed that prayer, Jesus Christ was going to come into my heart and save me. I was only 10 years old. And I hear people talk about the stories of getting saved later. Susan got saved later after making a profession of faith, and other people make it. And the devil's battled me with that for a long time. But I tell you, my preacher told me when I went and talked to him one time, he said, listen. He said, do you believe Jesus Christ will save your soul? I said, yes, sir. He said, when you prayed, do you really believe that He would save your soul? I said, I really did. He said, well, if you really meant it, I believe you're saved. And I tell you, that's what I've rested on all these years, and knowing that I'd confidently, I expect Him. I was so excited when I got saved, I couldn't wait to tell everybody at school. Back then, they didn't laugh at you quite as much as they do now. But I remember going to school, and I was just so exuberant and so excited about what God would do. But you see what we need today. We don't need half-hearted faith. Faith is believing that God will save you. Faith is believing that God will give you wisdom. Faith is believing that God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory, as long as you're applying the wisdom of God in your life. It's a terrible thing to walk in that spiritual no man's land of doubt and faith. I tell you today, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot have a divided heart and a divided mind when you deal with God. Some people want to love the world and some want to love God. They used to call it in my day straddling the fence. They say you got one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. I tell you today, I've never straddled the fence since I got saved. I'm not saying I didn't have doubts. I just told you I went and talked to my preacher. I'm not telling you that the devil hadn't messed with me, but I come to the conclusion that my wisdom of God is right and holy and joyful, and we can trust it. And then lastly, we notice the practical application of wisdom. Now, I told you wisdom is applying God's truth daily. Wisdom is applying. In other words, don't be something else on Sunday and live like the devil Monday through Saturday. If you've got wisdom, You will come to the house of God reverencing it, as Brother Keith preached last week. We'll come to the house of God reverencing the house of God, respecting the Word of God and the things of God. But yet, on the other hand, we'll find that it's applying it to our everyday living that we need to do and need to enjoy. Here's several things that come to mind. There's three different kinds of people that he describes about wisdom. Look at verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, sometimes God will test our wisdom by poverty. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We find here, I've written down the wrong verse somewhere. I'm looking for the one that talks about sometimes God will test us in our poverty. And I know it sounds paradoxical, but it's true. You see, a poor man, if he's wise, he'll realize what you own and in whose that you what it really counts. He knows that riches come from heaven. He knows that wisdom comes from God. I've said many times, it's not just a click. If you're a part of the family of God, you're filthy rich. I don't know about what filthy rich is, except money's dirty, but thank goodness we can spend it. But if we're filthy rich. I tell you today, could I tell you, if you check my bank account, you might not believe it so much, but I'm the richest man in the world as far as I'm concerned. I'm not rich because of the money I have in the bank. I'm rich because of the wisdom that God's applied to me and the graciousness and the mercy that he's given me for these 40, 50-something years to be able to minister the Word of God. I tell you, you think about it. We talked about it last week, about not many people being called to go to the mission field anymore. Not many people surrendering to full-time service anymore. I'm telling you, the church is dying out because people do not have the wisdom they need to do what God would have them to do, and they need to attain it, they need to apply it, and it might even apply in the fact that God brings you to a place where you need some help along the way. But he says, let him ask, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave that sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Better be careful about faith and doubt in what you do and in believing. Somebody said, we're rich. Yes, sir. Not going to sing it. It wouldn't do much good for you. But a tent or a cottage, why should I care? He's building a mansion for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing. All glory to God. I'm a child of the King. That's why I'm rich this morning. Is applying, even in poverty, we may not have anything. You may not have much at all. But if you've got Jesus, you've got all you need. And you've got all the wisdom that you need. I can't imagine people going through life thinking that knowledge does, in a sense, get you to heaven if it's the knowledge of the Word of God. But just general knowledge isn't going to do it. Wisdom ought to be applied to prosperity. I want to show you something here in just a minute. Look at verse 10 and 11. All right, here one. I didn't read verse 9 a while ago, and that's where I was trying to get to. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he exalted. In other words, the poor man, he's low, he don't have anything, he don't have much. But in his low degree, what does he do? What does he do? Read the verse. He rejoices. The Bible said, let the brother of low degree rejoice that he's exalted. But now we're moving on to another one. The magnitude of wisdom can be applied to prosperity. Look at verse 10. But the rich, and that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. You see, it's easy for the poor man to doubt God, isn't it? Isn't it? Sure it is. It's easy. The poor man, if he ain't got no money, he ain't got no bread, he ain't got no food. I believe that. I understand that. It's easy. But yet, if he has the wisdom of God, he'll rejoice. He'll rejoice because he's been exalted. And exalted that he's become a child of God, saved by the grace of God. But what about the rich man? You know what the rich man, and please don't misunderstand this. I thank the Lord there's some from some very wealthy people. that have helped us to finance the works of God all around the world. I know a man that gave literally millions of dollars to some missionaries over in Africa, I believe. And he gave it, and he gave it out of a clean heart. And he was right with God. He's in the right place. But what does most rich people say? I don't need God. I can make my house payment. I can pay my insurance. I got everything I need. I don't need God. Now, that's not everybody, thank goodness. Because some rich people have wisdom. Some poor people have wisdom. But the truth of it is, if we have wisdom, we often both rejoice. But again, I remind you, if you own your money, you're not wise. If you make your money, owe you. Again, I don't like this word, but it's in use in the Bible a lot. If your money owns you, you're a fool. The fact is, not everybody can handle prosperity. Somebody said one time to me, said, reckon why God didn't make me rich? Because he couldn't trust you. That's why he didn't make you rich. I know that's why he didn't give me that, make me rich. And again, no, I'm not up here poor mouthing. Listen, I've been blessed way more than I deserve to be blessed. I'm just talking about the fact of these people sometimes that have everything. I read about a man, I was getting this together and I was looking at some illustrations. I read about a man that he had bad heart condition, and that caught my eye right off the bat. And he had a heart condition, his heart wasn't doing good. And so he won a sweepstakes, and his daughters found out about it, and he won $1 million. And so they went to the preacher, and they said, preacher, daddy won $1 million in the sweepstakes, and we're just scared to go tell him because we're afraid he'll have a heart attack and die. And we want you to go over there and explain to him what took place and tell him that he won $1 million. And so he went over to the old man's house, and he knocked on the door. The man was about 85 years old. Knocked on the door, and the preacher thought he'd just warm up things. But he said, hey, what would you do if you won $1 million? He said, well, preacher, he said, if I won $1 million, he said, I'd give it all to the church. And the preacher had a heart attack and died. A wise man can see both the emptiness of earth and the imminence of heaven at the same time. Did you see that? A wise man can see both the emptiness of earth. What does this world have to offer? But you can see the emptiness of earth and the imminence of heaven at the same time. I'm grateful today that we can apply the wisdom of God and know what God would have us to do. Thirdly, the third point under this point, wisdom applied to pressure. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Life is full of pressure. There's pressure of trouble, tribulation, temptation. But I know one who meets every pressure of life. And it's our Heavenly Father that lives in heaven. It gives us the wisdom we need. If we need to refuse to buckle under the circumstances of life, I've had so many people in my ministry tell me, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through, and I know I probably don't know what you're going through. But I can tell you, on the other hand, you don't know what I'm going through either. And we all go through many things, but friend, it's not based on what's going on. It's based on the one that we believe in, we've trusted it for, and we have the wisdom that God wants us to have, that we're not doubting, but we're believing, trusting him in every area of our life. Many people today, instead of applying the principle of God's word, we're told that if they're rejecting that, they're not going to get to the place that they need to be. But if they do, he says in this verse 12, he said they'll receive the crown of life. The word crown comes from a Greek word that literally means wreath. It was more like a wreath that was given. It's the word crown here is used as the crown of rejoicing. The crown of flowers was often worn at the times of joy, such as weddings, feasts. A crown of royalty, because the crowns are always worn by kings. It's a crown of reward. The crown was sometimes a crown of laurel, which was given to the victor in a race. But to me, it's a crown of righteousness, because it's a crown is a symbol of honor and purity, which comes from knowing the wisdom of God. Do you know what real wisdom is today? Real wisdom. Listen to me. And I know I've kind of messed things up along the way here. But if you don't get nothing else, get this. Examine your heart and see where you're at. And when you examine your heart and see where you're at, have you realized that life is short? I cannot tell you how many funerals I've preached in the last 4 years, but I believe they're somewhere between 40 and 50. I don't like to preach funerals because I hate to see our loved ones pass on. But I've preached funerals of people I knew, and I've preached funerals of people that I've really known. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to know today, wisdom is realizing life is short. Therefore, every moment that we spend ought to be glorified God. Our missions verse this year talks about that. Glorifying God. And today, is your life glorifying God? Number one, are you saved? Do you see life from God's point of view? Then apply God's word to your daily living. Make every word count for the glory of God. That's the wise thing to do. Are you living out the principles and the true wisdom of God this morning? Or you say, well, I'm smart. I'm educated. Wonderful. I would love to be more educated than I am, but I would consider myself educated in some degree. But knowledge without the wisdom of God is of no value and of no helpment. Friend, do you know Jesus today? And have you been asking him for wisdom? Have you been applying wisdom in your life? What's happening with your life today? I pray if something you need to get right with God, you can be saved by just coming forward. Letting somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you have other needs, you can come pray. We'll be glad to pray with you. But I invite you to come as we sing together an invitation hymn in just a moment. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day.